frustrating, isn't it mysterious, to see that the Lord appeared to Abraham? And Abraham saw three men, and the visitors were later identified as angels, but one seemed to be the Lord himself. It's hard for us to know exactly what point he realized that he was in the presence of the Almighty God. And in this scene, Abraham gave God his full attention. He stopped what he was doing and ran to meet him. God asks you and me to do the same. To give him our fullest attention. To put him first in our life. To put everything aside as secondary. And we heard in today's gospel where Jesus states, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is a need for only one thing. And Mary has chosen the better part of it and will not be taken from her." God asked us to give us our fullest attention, and one way of doing that is through prayer. As I mentioned last month, I'm on a journey to increase my own level of having God's presence in my life, God's presence in me. Last week, Marie and I went on vacation, and I used that time to do some light reading. So I read The Way of the Trust of Love, The Guide for Prayer by Teresa Lazzu. Interior Pastoral by Teresa of Avila. An historical and most important one, Dark Night of the Soul by St. John the Cross. So this evening I'd like to share with you a little bit of what I learned in those little words. St. Augustine of Hippo stated this famous clause in his Confessions. "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." I guess that's how I explain myself right now, that I'm restless until God rests in me. He's in me. He's in you. He's in us in a special way at Holy Eucharist. But I want to raise that to a different level, an encounter with God, just like the mystics that I read. There are three steps there. One is first, prayer itself. And prayer in the Catholic Church is the raising of one's mind and heart to God, or the requesting of God's things from God. It is an act of moral virtue of religion, which Catholic theologians identify as part of the cardinal virtue of justice. So we have prayer. Next, moving on, we have what's called meditation. Many use the word meditation interchangeably with contemplation and mental prayer. But in a Catholic sense, it is a distinct form of sustaining prayer. Meditation is a form of mental prayer and is a silent elevation and adaptation of our mind and heart to God in order to walk in our homage and to grow our own glory by our own advancement in virtue. And there are two forms of meditation, first formal and informal. Formal meditation is intentional and methodological act of bringing your mind and your heart to God so that you can think about Him. An informal meditation is like going out on a beautiful day, seeing a blue, beautiful rainbow like we saw. Just offering that to God, saying, "God is in creation." Another formal way is that you need to be reading scripture in your prayer. And I won't go over all the steps, but one is what you ought to be, where you take a scripture verse and you begin to contemplate about it. You read it first, which is called lectio. You meditate on it, which is mudatio. And then in prayer itself, ratio, to your own personal response to that text. And finally, contemplation, as you gaze towards Christ and the things of God, and that's contemplation. So what is contemplation, the third and highest level, which I'm trying to achieve, and many others do too? Contemplation is considering the higher form of mental prayer, and is an act by which the mind entirely looks upon God in a wordless act of love, resulting in a close union with Him. This is the level of prayer that the mystics were able to reach in their life. And we never reach that level of prayer because God brings that prayer to you. You don't just ask for it. God must intervene in your life. St. Thomas Aquinas called it the simple gaze on truth. And St. Teresa of Avila said, "Contemplation First, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and you need to love your brother and sister like you love God. This is expressed in the prayer of Israel, the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be the name of his glorious kingdom forever and ever. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And these words which I command you today shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them thoroughly to your children, and you shall speak of them when you sit at their house, and when you walk on the road, when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be for a reminder between your eyes, and you shall write them upon the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. And it will be, if you diligently obey my commandments, which I enjoin upon you this day, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and all your soul. And I will give you rain on your land about proper time, and the early rain and late rain, and you will gather your grain, your wine, and your oil. All during the day, Israelite people say this prayer to God. And we need to say it too. I love our God. We also have in our Catholic Church, which is called Liturgy of the Hours, which is very similar to that. We say it several times a day, in the morning, mid-morning, in the evening, and at night. What I learned from these books, and I'll share with you today, just a glimmer of that information, are some guides on how you can pray. First of all the saints say, be humble. Be humble, be humble. If you're arrogant and you think you're better than everybody else, and sometimes you even think you're better than God, you won't get to this level of prayer. You need to be humble. You need to be open to God's immeasurable love and mercy. Some people can't do that. They can't accept that God loves them. They can't accept that God forgives their sins. And sometimes they just hold on to those sins. But to get into prayer, you need to accept the whole idea of forgiveness and almost forget your sin. You need to take time to pray. Every morning I take an hour to pray in my room. You have to set time aside within the day, just like you do with everything else, to pray. You need to set that time aside. Accept that you are to love yourself, you are to forgive yourself, you are to repent, you are to participate in the sacraments, especially in the Eucharist. You need to be consistent in your prayers. You can't say, well, I'll say it today, but not tomorrow. I'll say it this week, but not next week. No, every day you need to set that time aside and pray. Start off with just 15 minutes. Just 15 minutes. Know that God is within you and that God comes to you. That's a frightening idea. That God is in everybody here. Everybody. God is in you. Prayer does not need to be complicated. It can be simple. I've learned also that you should say the Jesus prayer in a simple prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Just repeat that. The Rosary is a wonderful example of that type of prayer. You also have a surrender prayer. Oh Jesus, I surrender myself to you, take care of everything. Oh Jesus, I surrender myself to you, take care of everything. My brothers and sisters, as Jesus said to Martha and Mary, Mary chose the right one. And the right one is for you to set aside every day with God in focus as a prime thing in your life and pray to him, have a conversation with him. That's how